for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody, this has been a very exciting week for me. Tonight on Loveline, I was going to give your Family Guy name. Alex Borstein, none other than. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my goodness. You are still in production with the Family Guy.
Still in production with Family Guy. With animation, you're always in production.
And you, people think of you as the voice, but you're doing production and writing and everything, right?
Yeah, I am a producer on the show as well and do writing and voices.
Are there any shows that you have, like, sort of been your shows, writing-wise?
Well, you know, that's one of those things in TV. It's like someone's name gets put on episode, but technically, really,
it's a collaborative thing.
It's a collaborative thing. I mean, everyone breaks the story idea, comes up with the story together. Everyone helps you pitch jokes. You go away, you write the script, you bring it back. Everyone tears it apart and helps punch it up with new jokes. So it's definitely a collaborative effort.
I only saw a bunch of dudes sitting in the room talking. Are you the only woman in that group?
I'm one of two women.
Oh.
And of course, Seth.
Oh, yes. Well,
he,
but
he dabbles.
He goes, whatever. It's whatever. I mean, he plays every role.
That's not true. He just happens to have a penchant for musical theater.
Man, does he. So much music this year.
He does, yes.
But, I mean, people don't realize what he does. He writes all the music. He writes the lyrics.
Did you know that he and Walter Murphy are nominated for a Grammy?
Oh, that's too funny.
They are nominated for a Grammy for the Family Guy.
I'm supposed to ask you how to get the theme from that Stewie movie, The Untold Story.
How to get the
opening theme with the credits are, you know, playing.
The
music. Because my daughter wants to skate to it.
She wants to skate to it?
Yes, she's a competitive figure skater. And she thought,
really?
Yes.
Is she hardcore? Is she going to whack someone on the knee with a pipe iron?
No, not that kind of hardcore, but hardcore like every day and double jumps and all that stuff.
Does she have an eating disorder?
Not yet.
Nice.
We're working, though. We want to make sure she gets that. But she loves the Family Guy.
I don't know how we could get them. I bet Seth could. I will ask Seth.
And you guys were good enough. I think it was you and your power over there that got me as Chris's dermatologist.
That's right.
And an episode that I don't know if I hit the cutting room floor or not.
You had a very, very funny scene as the dermatologist.
That was fun. And you actually read the role, the Chris role with me.
I
think you were doing the reading with that. And Stewie and I go broadcasting. I don't know if that actually made it on any episode.
Go broadcasting? What do you mean?
He goes out on the night on the town. He ends up broadcasting with me.
I don't even remember.
I've read the episode.
To be honest, though, almost every day someone stops me on the street and says, oh, man, I love that thing you did with the... And I can barely remember. Like, so many of the jokes are replaced and changed and rewritten that by the time something airs, sometimes there's things I haven't even seen.
Right.
It's
and you never probably view the whole episode because you're on to 12 more.
Right. We're already working on the next one.
Are you working on American Dad at all? Or?
I am not.
God,
it's kind of a separate entity.
Again, another sort of, for our listeners, another sort of view behind the curtain. What Seth has is like a floor of a giant building.
Yes.
And on one end, the west wing, or I guess it'd be the south wing, American Dad is produced. And on the north wing, it's Family Guy. And Seth runs back and forth. Like giving notes on every detail on the animation, on the music, on the voices, on the comedy.
It's kind of amazing. There's a couple guys, Barker and Weitzman, that run American Dad. So they're much, much more hands-on. That's really their baby, and Seth is very much a part of it. But Family Guy is you know, it's Seth's original. It's his firstborn.
His baby.
So he tends to spend a little more time nitpicking with animation and this and that and notes. But yeah, he runs ragged, and now he's working on another show. And
Stewie's become an American icon.
Isn't that lovely?
Yes, I love that. Let's take a call. This is Evan, 13.
Hello?
Hey, it's Alex Borstein, Evan. What's up?
Hi. You both are geniuses.
Liar! Liar whore! Liar whore! And you know it!
He's a liar and I'm a whore?
My question is, when do you think Family Guy might end?
When do I think Family Guy
might end? You want it to end? What's the deal?
No. I love it, though, so much. It's my brother, though. He's in a...
I almost squashed Alex's dog here. I'm so afraid I'm going to...
That's not a euphemism. I actually have a small dog here.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. So what, your brother, what?
My brother is actually at a boarding school right now, and I'm just wondering if it might end soon, because he's in Montana right now, and at a boarding school for doing drugs and all. And he really loves... That's his, like... favorite thing.
It ain't going away, and it's not going away.
Tell him that if he slips, it will go away.
We'll make sure of it.
Keep coming back.
Or we won't let him buy the DVDs when they come out. David, 22.
Hi there. Yeah.
What's up?
Hi, Drew.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just, I don't know. If I sound too nervous, I want to apologize in advance. I love this show very much.
Like this show? How about Alex and her shows?
I love Alex's shows, too.
Okay, good.
All of my shows.
I get nervous around all the Family Guy folks.
Yes.
Seth was up here a couple... Seth Green was up here a couple weeks ago.
He's a fair-skinned beauty, isn't he?
He's doing a lot of stuff, too, these days.
Yeah, he's the busiest man in show business.
Seth Green has worked nonstop since he began in the business.
We had him read his bio as Chris.
There it is.
David, what's up?
I had a question for Alex. I was wondering how she got into working on the movie Good Night and Good Luck.
How she got into it?
Yeah.
I mean, how she sort of took on that 1950s flair?
Absolutely.
How I got into it or how I got the part?
Yeah, how you got the part and what it was like working with that cast and everything.
You know what? It was one of those things where it was a lot of times things happen because you know somebody or you worked with somebody. This was just a random audition I got sent on. And
you didn't beg to get on the set like I begged to get on your show?
not exactly, but I did have to walk up a lot of stairs to the audition. I remember that.
Rough.
So
yes.
It was a lot of exercise involved, which is new for me. And it was just a small part, but a pretty amazing opportunity, and it was unreal to work with people like David Strathairn, and George Clooney was the best director I've worked with. Not that I've had that much experience. You know, keep in mind that the last movie I did last year was the worst movie of the year, Catwoman.
Oh. But a big budget thing.
Huge
yeah.
budget. But it was kind of directorless. This was a much smaller film with yeah. someone with a complete vision and
oh my
true
God.
Talent.
I love that film.
I do, too.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought that was...
It's
I hope film goes that direction. You know what I mean?
I just think it was the greatest timing ever. I don't know how they got it out so quick, but with what's going on now in the United States and the Patriot Act, and it was perfect timing.
Even forget your politics or even the historical commentary, just as a film.
Yeah, it's
just a
it's
great
beautiful
story.
To look at, too.
Beautifully done.
Much
a great
like myself,
story.
Wouldn't you say, Drew?
Absolutely. You fit right in with that.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my goodness, Lois. Nice melons. Anyway, my son has a picture of Hooters. Has a picture of her carrying melons and with two owls on her shoulder.
Yeah, that was
what was that line?
That was like, wow, look at these Hooters, and you look over and there's owls, and then it was look at those melons, and you look over something like that. Again, this is another instance where I can't quote it exactly, but anyone I run into on the street can.
All right, here's Dave 21. What's up, Dave?
About 3 days ago, me and my girlfriend were having sex, and I ripped the skin between the hood of my penis. I used to be uncircumcised, and now I kind of am circumcised, but it's been bleeding ever since. And I'm
you mean you? There's some leftover skin from the circumcision?
Well, no, I was never circumcised. Like, I was uncircumcised, and I ripped the skin.
All right, you're uncircumcised. Yes, that's a common thing, and that's something that leads to a need for circumcision many times because foreskin comes over, right? And if it gets torn, it can kind of scar down and then tears again and scars further, and the head of the penis has difficulty getting out, and it can re-tear. It's just a mess.
Hey, Drew, wait, will you
like
pass
the
me
talks?
Some of that beef jerky?
Beef jerky?
Thank
here,
you.
How about I was telling you about my colonoscopy earlier, which is an endoscopy center right near your home, and would you like some chocolate,
by the way? Okay. Fudge and beef jerky.
What's that, Anderson?
I really like the way Dave talked. He was having sex. I think he ripped his tongue. Talk to Dave more. Listen to the way he talks. It's awesome.
But it's, isn't he there with his tongue? He ripped his the
it sounds like he ripped his tongue, though.
Dave?
Yeah.
Say it again. What happened?
I was having sex with my girlfriend 3 days ago, and I ripped the skin on my...
He's talking out the side of his mouth.
Works for the Lollipop Guild. Let's keep going. This is, oh, my God, all these dudes. Let's talk to Monica. Monica, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing. I'm very happy to be a part of your show.
We're happy to have you.
Wanted to tell you how much I enjoy it. You get me through the end of my workday.
Yeah.
Here's my problem. When I get aroused, I get way too wet. And I know that doesn't sound like a problem, but it is.
Do you have like an ejaculation or is it just lubrication?
Just lubrication.
And so wet that you actually can't sort of feel things? Is that the problem?
Right. Yeah.
Alex?
Interesting. So long as you're not wearing thin white pants.
A little puppy you're using could be kind of a, well, just
a
saying.
Mop.
Well, Monica, here's the deal. That oftentimes women that have that problem, when they get on progesterone-predominant pills, that can correct that problem a little bit. Birth control pills?
Birth control?
Yeah, like the mini-dose pills, the ones that have very little estrogen but mostly progesterone or the progesterone shot, there tends to be a certain amount of dryness from that, and that sometimes helps with this problem.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Or just go with it and get like a slippy slide in the backyard.
Just use it. Just let it run with it. Yeah. Cindy. It's one of my favorite callers. Cindy's an attorney at Tulane. She called us last night, and we had a question for her, and she, I guess, tried to call back, right?
Yeah, I'm not an attorney. I'm a 1L, by the way, but we're just going over all of
law school student.
Cases.
Yeah, yeah.
But, okay, so it was about some girl's crazy ex-boyfriend wanting to post naked pictures of her on MySpace.
Right. And did she have some recourse?
Yeah, believe it or not, we go over this kind of stuff all the time. There are three things that she could try to do. She could
went to law school. No, just talking to Alex.
Okay. Well, she could get a charge for extreme and outrageous conduct on his part. Mm-hmm. She should get a charge for a breach of privacy, or she could get a charge for the cause of extreme mental and emotional distress.
Oh, that's right.
Doesn't this depend on how good she looks in the picture?
Well, actually, this kind of thing is only really successful with people who are known as public figures or celebrities, but... You know, with a good lawyer, you could basically get anything done. So,
that scares me.
If you're gonna go ahead with charges, that means you're a dog.
Yeah, pretty.
I mean,
much.
If you're a hot piece of ass, you're gonna be pretty excited. Someone's gonna call your friends, get hello to me.
Yeah, it becomes a credibility debate. So as long as you can prove that she's more credible than he is, which you know arguably is true, she could get something done. So,
all right. Thanks.
Dr. Drew, I'd also, is there a deadline for that listener co-host thing? Because I really like to throw my hat in the ring.
Please do. It's 5131 5901 Venice Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. And address it to Ann, producer Ann, care of Loveline. And there is no deadline yet because we haven't even figured out the date that's going to happen yet. But we'll be looking for your card, Cindy, okay?
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye. So this Sunday, February 5th, the back-to-back Family Guy episodes.
That's what I hear.
Oh, my God. A Super Bowl and then the big game, I guess we have to call it now.
Yes.
You can't use the S word.
Really?
Because it says licensing and all this kind of stuff.
Interesting.
It's good
time. Well, we're doing the same thing with Family Guy.
Are you not allowed to utter the word?
Refer to it as
we'll call it the F
big
word.
Show.
And there'll be back-to-back episodes out of the Super Bowl. That's going to be the best day I've ever had.
We're interested in seeing how it does. And I guess it depends on the length of the game. But I personally will be at the Super Bowl.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Are you a fan of one of the teams?
My husband is from Seattle.
Oh, that's
right.
So
we are Seahawks. You know, we got no team here. The only other team I adore is the Chicago Bears because where I'm from. But they didn't make it.
Right.
They were pathetic. So I'm going for the Seahawks all the way.
Do you have an opinion about what happened to Soldier Field and Comiskey Park? And have you seen?
I know that it looks like Close Encounters. Like something.
Soldier Field?
Yes.
Yeah, something like it was dropped in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it in person.
It's not good.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. How about the Comiskey Park?
I have not seen it.
They changed the name of it, didn't they?
I believe they did. I've never seen Comiskey Park.
What?
Yeah.
Not a baseball fan.
I am, but I've never been there.
Weird.
Isn't it?
Is it way outside of town?
Are you talking about Wrigley Field?
They changed the name of one of them.
Because Wrigley Field's in Chicago.
Where's
not
Comiskey?
Wrigley. Never.
Where's Comiskey?
Isn't that Boston?
That's Chicago, too.
Yeah, Comiskey's in Chicago.
They rebuilt Comiskey.
That must be White Sox.
They rebuilt it and renamed it. Yeah, it's White
Sox. Oh, that's White Sox. Yeah. I never watched the White Sox.
Okay, all right.
Only the Cubs.
All right. Not a White Sox.
Sorry, you threw me.
All right. Beg your pardon. All right. Now, the other thing that's that is kind of fun lately is that Mad TV seems to have another life on Comedy Central.
It does. It's like a cat or a cockroach.
No, it's a cat.
It'll never die.
No. It's a cat. It's
it keeps
got
going
several
right.
lives, good ones, too.
Pretty much, I'd say 98% of the time, people who I see on the street think I'm still on the show.
Yeah.
They have no idea are the new episodes.
My kids watch Mad TV like the Zapruder tapes or something. They study them.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, and as far as you're concerned, they're concerned, you're on Mad TV.
Well, see, then I'd like for them to keep those residuals coming. Your children, I think.
Does that happen? Is there anything for you?
Yeah, you get residuals. Yeah. It's not that much because it's late night variety, and they're in kind of a smaller union that doesn't pay as well, but it's something. Mama ain't complaining, Drew.
Nice.
Mama likes the money.
You guys just built a railroad at your house, right?
We built, what would you call it, like a vernacular?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd call it? Or is that the vast deference?
No, it's different.
That's different. Two different things. Yeah, it's like a little lift that resembles a railroad that brings you from where you park down to the shoreline to where the little house is.
Up in Seattle.
Up in Seattle.
I mean, it's got to like, be pretty.
It's very, very pretty.
Is it scary? I mean, your husband built it. Are you afraid it's going to like some...
It's scary because you know he built it.
Yeah, it's going to be like a Bugs dabbles. Bunny episode or something where the thing breaks.
Yeah, and if it were to break, you'd go headfirst into the ocean. You'd be in the sound.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, let's take some calls here. This is Stephanie, 19. Stephanie, you're on with Alex Borstein.
Hello.
What's happening?
Hey, I was just wondering, I just got off my period about a week ago, and I was wondering, I think I might have a yeast infection, but am I supposed to be bloated?
Is that not from yeast? No. You can have irritation. I mean, you have swelling, the sort of vulva swelling, but not abdominal bloating.
Yeah, I feel kind of bloated after, and I have, like, white discharge, and it's kind of gross, but I've been noticing it the past few days.
Does it smell like a brewery in the bathroom?
I don't know. I don't know. A few days ago it did, but I feel bloated really bad. And sometimes I think, am I pregnant? No, I don't know.
Is it possible? Is it possible?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I hope not.
Stephanie, you sound like it's hard even to track you. You're like disorganized and anxious. What's going on?
Oh, I'm kind of nervous.
All right, but why don't you go see a gynecologist?
Yeah, I will.
Wouldn't you?
Are you afraid might be like an STD or something?
Or are you afraid you might find out?
No, nothing like that. Actually, my boyfriend, he's actually kind of against me going to see a male gynecologist.
Why?
And I don't know, because he's concerned, like, because he's a male, and males are, if they see an attractive woman, he'll get turned on. That's what he thinks. And
your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Nothing Stephanie. Like white, cheesy discharge to get you hot, huh?
Your boyfriend is an idiot. Okay? I'm sorry. But if he thinks somebody, you're going to go see a criminal, hopefully you won't choose to see someone with a history of criminal behaviors. But the doctor has an obligation to maintain boundaries with you. Did something happen to him growing up? Was he abused or something?
No, nothing like that. I think he's just got a real kind of insecure issue with women, I think.
Yeah, no kidding.
But let's hope you aren't pregnant with his kid.
Yes.
No.
How old is he?
He's 23.
Oh, for God's sakes. Come on. Stephanie, please, take care of yourself, all right?
All right.
And definitely go, though. Don't just buy one of those over-the-counter things, because if it's not a yeast infection, then you've blown like $6.
Well, you could take a pregnancy test over-the-counter, too, right? They're available very accurate, and you can try the anti-yeast creams. They're also very effective, but if you're not pregnant and the creams doesn't work, then by all means go see somebody. Dave, 22.
Is that me?
That's you.
Okay, cool. What's up, Dr. Drew?
What's happening, Dave?
Oh, man. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool.
Medical question. I was curious if it is at all possible for excessive masturbation in formative years, 15, 16, if it's possible for that to actually change the shape of one's penis.
Alex?
I know that I did a lot of, can you say jacking off?
Sure.
To a lot of young men at that age, and I was able to do a lot of balloon animal kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I did a giraffe.
Nice.
And
a poodle.
And but the most popular was a snake.
Imagine that.
But none of them stayed that way.
What?
I'm going to say that you don't alter the shape of your penis. That's my guess.
Well, you can.
Really?
You have to kind of traumatize it. And what you can do is cause some scarring on one side, and that can kind of pull the penis over. So you can cause a little curvature. But it's usually not a big deal.
It's not actually a curvature. When I was about 15, 16, I masturbated an average of 3 to 4 times a day.
Nice.
And it's not really, it's not a huge concern, but the current shape of my penis, like near the tip, the diameter, I'd say is maybe an inch and a quarter, inch and a half. And same.
Give or take a millimeter. Yeah. Okay.
And same at the base, but near the middle, it goes out to inch and 3/4, maybe even 2.
No.
It's larger in the middle?
Yeah, that can happen. That's
it's like
just
a spinning top?
Yeah, well, yes.
As a lady, I'm going to say that's okay.
Or you know those Egyptian columns?
Yes.
You know, right? The big temples in Egypt? Yeah, that's what he looks like. You've been blessed, son.
Yeah, I'm going to say...
Yeah, relax. That's not from...
Go with God. Enjoy that.
That's not from self-abuse, as they used to say. Not only that I'm always concerned about men that preoccupy about their penis a little too much. It's like,
that's what I wonder. Is it a woman that went, hey, that's a funny looking shape or something?
No, or is it, do I need to get my act together and get back to school and get the job that I like and things
stop
that...
Stop masturbating three times
yeah, things that inflate my sense of...
I say do both. Get a job that allows you to masturbate 3 times a day.
But that's the best possible job. And it inflate his sense of self-worth and esteem and ability to be of service in the world as opposed to inflating the peni. Annie, 24.
Hi.
Hey, Annie, what's up?
My question is, I used drugs some this summer, and got into them kind of badly with the cocaine, but I stopped doing that, and I left the situation, and I haven't done it for a couple months, and I noticed that when I was doing a lot of cocaine, my skin got really bad, and that kind of made sense, and I'm kind of wondering if there are residual effects from that.
From cocaine?
Yeah.
Or on your skin?
Yeah.
I have a question. When you say left the situation, you mean like the guy that was doing it, you were doing it with?
No. I actually moved. So,
gotcha.
And kind of, I was working at a job where a lot of people were.
Be careful. You're still likely to get going with drugs again. I mean, once you've sort of triggered that biology, it magically will find its way into your life once again. So you might want to have somebody evaluate you and look into that.
I've never heard about the skin thing.
Well, mostly.
Well, that's what I'm kind of wondering biology-wise. Like, I know certain drugs can...
The most common thing from stimulants is something called a picker syndrome. People just pick at their skin all the time, and they get ulcers all over their face and limbs from sort of picking at it. Do you do a lot of scratching or picking?
Not a lot, a little bit, but I...
That's most of the skin stuff from stimulants. Beyond that, there's vasculitis, and there's sort of allergic-type reactions. And
did it make you skinny?
Eczema?
Not terribly.
Oh.
Are you still having skin problems?
A little bit, but I'm also wondering if it could be the birth control I'm on.
I would be more inclined to think of it something that's not related to the cocaine.
Okay, well then, if I can ask a question about birth control.
Yep.
I'm on a Less, and I've been on it for maybe 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
So, but all of a sudden, kind of, my skin has been reacting differently, or I'm wondering if that can happen where you're on the same.
Please, you can't you can't expect me to evaluate this and talk in these vague terms. Skin is reacting. It's different. What is happening?
I don't know. That's
are you having acne?
I'll say this. I know that the
not
lifestyle
acne at all.
The lifestyle that comes with cocaine, which is up all night, not very healthy, is pretty bad for your skin. You tend to be more dehydrated and just not that's doing kind of the right thing. So that could have attributed to it too, just the lifestyle that created.
Yeah, I'm just thinking now that I'm making different decisions and being healthier, I'm just wondering if it's hormonal stuff or what's going
on. It probably is, but again, not having any idea what you're talking about when you say your skin is different, it's reacting strangely, somebody would have to evaluate precisely what's going on. You can't
make Caucasian.
And you want a diagnosis. Yeah, I mean, skin diagnoses are hard to make, and you certainly can't do it when you don't provide any information whatsoever. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Lois Griffin from The Family Guy. Also, you know, there she is. You know her as Miss Swan.
Oh, God, I've got a cold. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it.
You look like a man.
It's bad with a cold, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds good. It sounds good. And you had said last time you were up here that you kind of loosely based her on your grandmother.
Oh, yes. She's very much my grandmother.
Is that the grandmother that's ill now?
This is the grandmother that is 91, and she has been slowly dying since she's 62.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of those.
I've got a bunch of those patients.
But it is now she's 91. She's having a lot of actual physical things going, but...
I love people that have or overwhelmed by medical problems from the time they're 60, and when they actually get them when they're 90, they won't have anything to do with them.
Yeah, I always thought she was an old woman. Like, I can't ever remember her not complaining about something.
It's a little passive aggressive, yes?
Oh, God. Just a little? A little? But you know what I like about her aging? The older she gets, the better looking she thinks I am.
Nice.
It's fantastic. Nice. When I used to visit her, she'd be like, "Why are you so fat?" And now, you are gorgeous. Gorgeous. So I think old age is fantastic.
Now, Miss Swan, though, seems like she had a little Asian flair about her.
Miss Swan is every immigrant you've ever met.
But her
look is very Asian.
And the operation of a little nail parlor, that's a little Asian,
yep,
isn't it?
Mm. And when I first did that character live, she actually was a wig maker.
Nice.
Which was a profession that my grandmother
did
for a
while. And that gets a little more in the Eastern European flair.
You know... It's all over.
We're going to talk more about Miss Swan. We're going to talk more about Lois Griffin. We're back with Alex Borstein at 1-800-LOVE-191 on Loveline after this.
Yeah, Loveline.
Loveline will be right back. Yeah.
Everybody, love line 1-800-LOVE-191. With us tonight, Alex Borstein. You all know her as Lois Griffin.
Everybody, love line.
Peter's wife. Sundays, 9 o'clock on Fox, and this Sunday after
they're gonna be back to back.
Back to back.
That doesn't mean we're gonna be doing some dirty Greek thing. That means two episodes through. You're filthy.
And this next call, I'm actually very excited about. Tim 14.
Hey,
Tim, what's up?
Whoa, I'm actually on.
You are actually on.
Cool. Hey, I actually had a hairdresser that was exactly like Miss Swan.
Aww.
Yeah, I was just sitting there waiting for her to say, you know, you look like a man kind of thing.
That's a good thing, right? She's cutting your hair.
It's a good imitation there, Tim. Like,
it was, wasn't it? Yeah. It was like she was in the room.
Waiting for her to say, you look like a man or something. Yeah. It's good. Like, there she was. I could see her.
I'm going to do a little bit, but I got a cold, so I sound like a man. Yeah, you look like a man, but that sound like one.
All right, Tim?
Yeah, and that line about the Hooters and and everything.
What was it?
It was some guy went up to Lois and, Peter's being all defensive.
Uh-huh.
And so he was sitting there, hey, nice Hooters, and it's like, oh, I actually have Hooters. And, hey, nice melons, I actually have melons. It's like, nice boobs, and he just runs away.
God, the way you tell it.
It's so
like,
funny.
It's
like,
incredible?
I almost fell off my chair.
You should take Tim with you on your speaking engagements.
That is a great idea. I think I'm going to do that.
Thank you for calling, Tim. I'm not just bullying you.
Erica, 24.
Hello?
Hey, Erica, what's up? You're on with Alex Borstein.
Hello. I have a question.
Ooh.
I have, about 2 years ago, well, actually when I was 18 years old, I got pregnant with my boyfriend.
Uh-huh. We can hear the baby.
Oh, no, that's not baby number one.
Okay.
No, it's not. I have actually 3 kids now.
Oh.
Wow.
How did I know that? Yeah,
well,
thank you.
No.
That's pulling the trigger for myself.
Well, when I was 18, I got pregnant, and then after, a year later when my son was, when he was a year old, my boyfriend cheated on me.
Mm-hmm.
And he got this girl pregnant.
Great.
So then, I got really... I did everything for this guy. I loved him and everything. And then shortly after, I got with somebody else. And this guy takes care of me and everything. But somehow I cannot be affectionate with him. And
The somehow is, Erica, this is a classic syndrome where you have to be with a guy that treats you like hell. And if the guy's not treating you like crap, you are not interested. And in fact, a nice guy or a good guy that's actually available for a relationship, like the guy that's taking care of you and your kids right now, well, that doesn't feel right. That feels uncomfortable for lots of reasons. One is sort of like the way Woody Allen and Groucho Marx said, you'd never want to be a member of a club that would have you as a member.
Right.
Doesn't seem right that somebody would actually love you. The
Not
other thing, Erica,
you're worth it.
That when you've been abused, like undoubtedly have been by your parents or or whoever in your family of origin or abandoned,
mm-hmm.
What happened to you? What happened?
Actually, my parents weren't really... My dad used to hit me.
Okay, well, there you go. So when you've been abused by your family of origin, you learn, well, whatever it is about that, that the horror and the terror of being mistreated by parents or abandoned by parents, something about the way our brain is configured results in that becoming immensely attractive when we're older.
Isn't that bizarre?
It's bizarre.
It's like a mirror image is burned in.
It's something gets burned, and they call it. Some people have sort of advocated the idea of a love map, that the idea of love is sort of this recurring sort of fixed structure in the brain that we just have to crave.
Right.
And so when you try to be with a nice guy, when you know it's somebody you should be with, well, on one hand, it's more secure, but it gets kind of boring, and it gets kind of uncomfortable to be close to somebody because, after all, closeness means danger and vulnerability. And there's that attraction for the guys that are abusive a-holes. And eventually, that's what you go for. You go for the abusive a-hole. You destabilize this relationship. You expose your kids to more trauma and chaos. And lo and behold, you recreate the whole circumstances of your family of origin. So, Erica, why don't you just hang in with this guy on behalf of your kids, all right?
Okay, then.
All right, there we go. That's that. I have nothing more to say. Amber, 25. Amber, what's up? Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong line here, buddy. Amber, there you are. What's up?
Okay, can you hear me?
We got you.
Okay, good. Okay, basically what happened is I've been friends with somebody for about 10 years now since high school, and we slept together, and we did use protection, but I still got pregnant. And he basically he said he wasn't, but I know that he has been smoking crystal meth.
Nice.
So I want to know, I'm weighing out my options as far as, you know, adoption, abortion, different things, but I need to know health-wise what this could happen. I mean, could it be... Because it's in him, and it was when we conceived, is it possibly going to harm the baby?
No.
Yeah, I would assume it's not the same as when the caring mother is abusing.
Yeah, the main thing with the guy is whether or not he can get somebody pregnant, but the fact that he did, it's over then.
But okay. If you're going to keep this kid, then he'd be tied to it for the rest of its life.
He'd be tied to the a-hole meth addict dad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about a 50% probability the child will inherit the genetic potential for addiction.
For addiction?
Yeah.
Okay, 50%?
But it's not, 50%. None of the actual drug that was in his bloodstream is transferable to the child.
No.
Okay.
But you sound a little sped up yourself. Are you okay?
Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm a little nervous because this is something that I'm 25 and I've never had to deal with anything like this. I never thought I would.
Okay.
But I had another question concerning my pregnancy also. I've had chronic yeast infections since I was about 15. Mm-hmm. I'd say one every 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that has any adverse effects on pregnancy or if, you know...
I don't think yeast does, but I know the bacterial vaginitis does. So if you think there's an infection of any type and you're having a discharge and irritation of the vagina, you've got to get that checked out by a gynecologist if you're going to see this pregnancy through.
Vaginitis, uberalis. Anyone?
Nice.
Thank you.
It's a little Mama Kennedy, Mia. Sir. Keep going. I like that.
Just a little something for the girls with vaginitis.
It's the first time anyone's ever sung Dead Kennedys on the show, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a first?
Yeah, this is a pussy show.
Hello, America.
Anderson, you're such a...
Well, I mean, come on. We need more punk rock injections, and I like that out of Alex. That was great.
I'm glad that you're happy. I live to please you.
Did you see Good Night and Good Luck, Anderson?
No, you know why I didn't? Because I heard it was made for TV, and I banned those movies.
What?
It was made for TV initially.
No way.
Yes, how was it made for TV?
It was set up to be made for television, and then they said it was this good, and they decided to put it in the theaters.
That's totally bogus.
That's what I heard.
Always done with the intention of being.
Alex is in the film, Anderson.
Yeah, I turns out I listened to the show. I heard you guys talking earlier.
Yeah, wow.
You're wrong.
I'm impressed.
Now I'm not sure what to think of your compliment. Damn.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working
anymore. Oh, that Kennedy's.
It was. It was always done as a feature, but, you know, you...
It is a very... Anderson, you would love this film.
Yeah, I know. I got to see it. But
you might be thinking of Failsafe. That was a black and white film that George Clooney directed that was done for television, Failsafe.
That's maybe what it was. I need to watch it, but I didn't grow up in that era, so I don't...
No. Just really as a film.
Wait a second. Are you implying that I did?
Kind of.
You think I was alive in 1954?
I heard you're Miss Wu.
Son of a...
All right, Anderson, just as a film, please. Trust me.
Thanks.
Stephanie, 22.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
This is actually about my fiance. He's 23, and he still wets the bed. And
nice.
I know it's hereditary. His dad did it. His grandmother did it. But they all stopped when they were, like, around 18 or 19.
Is it incontinence?
He's worried that it's not going to stop.
How old are you?
I'm 22, and I really love him. It's just I can't lay next to him in bed because I'm scared he's either going to...
Oh, that's
and you're
nice.
Sure it's urine?
Or something. Oof. Oh, I'm positive.
Okay.
And he's positive, and he's really tired of it and scared it's not going to stop.
What would Miss... I mean, there must be old country remedies for that. What would Miss Swan say about that?
All the time, I used to wet the bed.
You did, Miss Swan?
Yeah, up until
no
I was...
No kidding. Yeah. When did you stop?
When I was 42.
42, so quite a bit older than Stephanie's boyfriend.
Yeah.
How'd you finally get over it?
I finally had to get over it. You had to have ginseng.
Ginseng, yes.
And then you staple the vagina closed.
You staple it closed with the ginseng too?
Yeah,
inside.
Yeah.
Ginseng
inside,
is
inside.
What
and you make a staple.
What if you don't have a vagina? It's a young boy.
Oh, then you had to take the, what you call, the penis.
That's what it's called, yes.
Okay, well, I come from in Kuvaria. We call it kalodo.
Oh, really? That's a
great big kalodo. And you take the kalodo and you stick it inside.
You push the kalodo back inside the body.
All the way up inside.
Up inside, like a turtle's head.
Oh, like a turtle head.
Yes. In fact, that's what they call that maneuver, I believe. Yes?
Yeah.
In where are you from again?
Kuvaria.
Kuvaria. The kalodo from Kuvaria goes inside like the turtle's head.
Like if you take a condom and you put it on your mouth and you blow it out, and then you suck it all the way in. It's like when you tuck in the colodo.
Tuck in the colodo. And do you pack anything in with the colodo? Any like the
yeah, you got
herbs
to take,
or
you get a bottle of Tylenol.
Bottle of Tylenol,
and
huh?
And in the inside is all that cotton.
Oh yes, yes.
And you that you stick it all up.
Only the cotton from Tylenol.
Oh, yeah.
You can't use cotton that you'd find in a just
no,
a
no, because it's acetaminophen.
You actually want the remnant acetaminophen yeah. in packed in with the turtle head colodo yeah. from Kavaria. Got it. And then, and how do you get it to stay
We're
there?
We're going to give someone a horrible infection. We got to stop.
Trust me. I know, man. They're not going to cram. Don't, you're thinking like, you're thinking like a woman right there. You're like, oh, should I try that? No. Men are like, are you kidding me?
I've never heard of anyone wetting the bed that old.
Well, Mr. Crowley used to do that.
Interesting.
Yes, yes. And there is, you know, there are ample reasons and there's various reasons. This genetic theory your boyfriend has is rather interesting and convenient. I've never heard that there's any really genetic disorder other than something wrong with the bladder itself. And if he has a bladder disorder, does he?
I have no clue.
He needs to see a urologist. There's actually something, what they tend to do now, here's the thing you can do by yourself. Get like an egg timer, like a alarm clock. And every 2 hours, have him get up and pee. That's it. And he will not pee the bed because he'll have an empty bladder.
Could it be like if all the men had it, could there have been like male through the generations abuse?
It makes me wonder what's going on psychologically. But I'll give him a break and say, look, see a urologist, get his bladder tested to make sure it's not a bladder tone problem or bladder anatomy problem. And then there's something called DDAVP, which is a hormone that actually makes you hang on to fluid during the night so you don't produce urine. And that's the standard treatment now. It's actually something you sniff up your nose. It's a hormone.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's the standard treatment stuff.
Did you see that made for TV movie? Remember John Landis? What's his name? The guy from Little House on the Prairie?
No.
Come on. You know, the guy with the long hair.
I'm aging, but I know exactly. Michael Landon.
Michael Landon. Yes. He apparently was a very fast runner in high school, and he did a made-for-TV movie about himself. The reason why was he was a bedwetter, and he would try to run home every day before his mother would hang the sheets up to embarrass him.
Whoa.
Isn't that great?
Yeesh.
This I learned in the writer's room at Family
Hang the sheets up. Now, see, that's what I thought Miss Swan was going to talk about. Oh. And that's the kind of stuff they do in Kavaria.
Kavaria, they tuck the...
Very progressive. Push the colodo inside out and
tuck it
in with the semen.
It's funny, in Kuvarian, the same word for penis, colodo, is also flute.
Fascinating.
Isn't that interesting?
That is really interesting. And your grandmother used to confuse you with that sometimes?
I heard this from Miss Swan.
Miss Swan told you that. Yes, very interesting. So, Stephanie, have him see a urologist, okay?
Okay.
I'm surprised he hasn't so far. He needs to get this treated. And why he hasn't, their effective treatments, I'm confused.
Because he said that his dad and his grandmother stopped.
Yeah.
So he was just waiting for it to stop.
Well, that's BS. He needs to get it treated. And if you, in the meantime, so you can tolerate being next to him, which might disrupt your sleep, but every couple hours have him get up and pee, set an alarm for that, and then
ignore it and have him sleep in the tub.
It's a good idea.
Just hose him off in the morning.
Or a wetsuit or something like that. Put a catheter on him. All right, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. She is Alex Borstein. You know her as Lois Griffin. Writer, producer, and star of Family Guy.
Wow.
It really is our favorite show.
Really?
One of our favorites. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you disqualified it.
Well, I was just thinking, I called The Office my favorite show last night, too. But Family Guy is just... I think it's probably the best written show on television.
Well, you are very kind, and all the writers would thank you because they spend a lot of long nights.
Yes, they do. And back-to-back episodes after the big game.
Yes.
The S Bowl game.
The big game.
The big game. February 5th, that's again on Fox. The usual time is Sunday at 9 o'clock. And then I hope we'll get to talk a little more to Miss Swan because I'm very interested about how she sees the colodo and what she's encountered. You know, Alex.
She's a very sexual person.
She's very sexual, and she's a little passive aggressive with men. I mean, it seems like she's like deeply aggressive.
Interesting.
And something may have happened to him with the colodo when she was younger. So we'll talk more about that when we get back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Here's a call for Alex, Casey, 18.
Oh.
Hi, how you doing?
What's up, Casey?
Fabulous, how are you?
Good, Alex. I just heard that you're the producer and on Family Guy and actually had an audition yesterday to read for a new part called Doug.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was just wondering if you could help me get the part.
Oh,
wow.
Boy.
Well, let me tell you, there's many producers on the show. And
oh, yeah?
I have nothing to do with the auditioning, but let me hear what you did. Let's hear your audition.
Oh, did you know the episode that says Pick Up Your Ears?
Prick Up Your Ears? Yes, I do.
Pick Up Your Ears, yeah. It's the part for Doug. It's supposed to be like a Wally Cleaver type guy.
Okay. Let's
hear
it.
You want to hear what I had to do?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's see. One of the lines was...
Just do it!
One of the lines was... He's wrong because he wants to have sex and he's not married. Hi, I'm Doug. And then,
I don't know, it's not sounding, married, it's not sure sounding very Cleavery.
No?
Disqualified?
I don't know, I'm not hearing the, like, 1950s innocence.
No.
I don't know.
Not good.
I'm telling you what I'm hearing.
She's not saying it's not good, she's giving you a chance to sort of ratchet up a little bit.
Let's hear another go.
All right. He's wrong because he wants to have sex and he's not married.
I'd say that was a little bit better. What do you think?
Just louder.
Louder?
No, no, no. No, please.
You thought it was just louder. Yeah, you didn't find a difference?
Yeah, I feel like Paula Abdul all of a sudden.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's terrible. I don't know. I don't have to tell you. I don't make these kind of decisions. Did you try a blowjob with Seth?
Yes. That works.
That's pretty much. That's what I did.
I did. Call Alex, call Mila, call Seth, and beg.
Yes.
There you go. That works.
The numbers love 191.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Allison, 14.
Hi. I wanted to know, is it slutty for a girl to make the first move?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
All my friends tell me it is.
But what do you mean first move? What does that mean?
Like, because there's this guy that I like and he likes mm-hmm. me back, mm-hmm. but he's afraid to ask me out. And I want to know if it's like...
Oh, you should ask him out. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Get used to that. That's
Let me tell you
thing.
Something. I have so many regrets about people that I never just went for, because I think the confidence that I had would have made up for what I might have lacked in looks. Not saying that you're not an attractive girl. I've never seen you. But I would absolutely go for it.
Okay.
Is Jackson, your husband, listening? So Jackson, what she's saying is she wished she'd been with other guys. Maybe she would have found somebody really cool to marry.
You know, there's such a double standard. You gotta, if you see something that you're interested, I'm not saying you should go and sit on somebody.
You know what's interesting about double standards? Research shows that for the most part, double standards perpetuated by women.
Yeah.
And if you notice, it's her friends telling her not to mm-hmm. do it, other women. And that really harkens back to our primate heritage. In chimpanzee pods, when one of the females behaves a little differently than the rest, all the females get together and turn their back on her.
Right, like Hillary Clinton.
Like Hillary Clinton.
That is actually the subject of a new show that I'm working on, a one-woman show called Why We'll Never Be President.
Nice.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
It's women are the worst thing for women.
It's so true.
It is. I want to try to fix that.
I want to put my
arms around the chimpanzee and welcome her back into the pack.
Why are they so competitive and so awful to each other? I'm watching my daughter, 12, get into this stuff. It is wild.
Yeah, it's pretty. We're programmed that way.
You are programmed that way, but the men are programmed to be aggressive and violent and crap everywhere and pee everywhere. They manage to hold that in, kind of.
It's
you know what I mean? For the most part, we kind of keep it together.
It's just through marriage.
That's how they hold it together?
Yeah.
Oh, women tame them, no doubt. Women hold them together.
Women kind of make them hold it together.
Oh, yeah. But nonetheless, they kind of do.
But it is it is interesting. But I would definitely go for it. I mean, again, I'm not saying you should ask everybody out that you meet and sit on their faces for free. At least get
14.
Dinner.
She's 14.
Yeah. What would Miss Swan say?
Oh, you got to do the asking. If you wait.
The what?
Asking.
Asking, yes, yeah, you need to be assertive.
If you wait, you're going to wait.
In Kavaria, is there a problem, too, with women not being assertive and being sort of shunning to one another?
No, in Kavaria, it's opposite.
Opposite, women get together.
No, we have the penis.
Oh, women have a penis.
Yeah.
You don't call it a penis, though.
No.
Kolodo.
Yeah, kolodo.
Kolodo. And that's where you learned about turning the kolodo inside out.
Oh, yeah.
But then it becomes like a vagina.
Yeah, that's what's so great.
So do you have this thing, Clutter, where you go, you like put your thumb in your mouth and blow hard and out comes the penis?
Yeah, you got to put everything and you got to hold the breath and the fist and blue and then the kiddo will come out and it go, and all the animals come out from the wilderness. Everybody come out and they want to see the kolodo.
Only one kolodo calls all the animals, like Tarzan?
Yeah.
You don't have to get together with that. That's part of getting together as women, though. You all do it together in some sort of May 1st ritual.
You bring all the ladies together.
But Kuvari is up in the northern reaches of
near the North Pole.
Near the North Pole. What animals emerge?
The reindeer.
Reindeer show up. I get it. Santa Claus
and
sometimes
the penguin?
Show up. Penguin. Well, they're down south, I think, the penguins.
Oh, the penguin, you know, in the match of the penguin?
Yes, yes.
I know them all.
You met them all.
I know them,
Your Kolodo called upon them.
Yeah,
they're
good people.
They are.
They're good people. I don't care what people say. They're good.
They are good. It's a very touching story they told. I'm glad to know that the Kolodo recalls them back to their homeland.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I've lost my mind. And you've taken me there, a doctor.
I'm just saying.
A man of science.
Well, you know. Takes that sometimes. All right, that is Alex Borstein. That was Mrs. Swan. Ms. Swan. It's Ms. Swan. It's not Ms. People have to say Ms. Kwan.
Ms. Swan. Bunny Swan.
Bunny Swan.
Yes.
The happy, fun.
Gorgeous, pretty beauty nail salon.
Gorgeous, pretty beauty nail salon.
Close.
Is where she works.
Yes.
You can also see or listen to Alex Borstein on Family Guy. Of course, it's Lois Griffin. Sunday, 9 o'clock, Fox. And this February 5th, after the big game. Three back-to-back episodes.
Yeah, there's back-to-back. And
oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Hey, I want to plug something else, too.
Yeah.
I'll also be in a Wayans Brothers movie called Little Man.
All right. Hold on. We're going to talk about Little Man when we get back.
Uh-oh.
We're going to take a little break. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Go. It's Love Line. We're back at 1-800-LOVE-191. Alex Borstein joins us.
Hello.
Ms. Swan joins us. And you know her for Lois Griffin on The Family Guy. Sundays, 9 o'clock on Fox. And three episodes this week. I'm very excited about
that. So how pissed would you be if my dog crapped on the floor?
Here?
Yeah.
I would not care.
Okay. He's starting to act kind of funny, and I'm like, maybe he's got one.
It was when Rob Schneider brought his dog, I was telling you the story earlier, over to my house, and he crapped everywhere.
I'm sorry.
And then gave whatever that was to my dogs, and they crapped everywhere. It was a beautiful thing. He's the sweetest dog ever. A lot of fun. We missed him when he was gone. But got a chance to clean the carpet up. So I got used to dog poo.
I apologize for Rob Schneider and Jews everywhere.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll take that apology. Let's see. Let's take an Alex question. This is Richard 18. Richard?
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Drew?
Good. What's up?
Hello, Alex Borstein.
Yeah, you can call him Dr. Drew, and you can call me Dr. Jew.
Okay, Dr. Jew. Actually, my question goes to you, Ms. Borstein. Well, first of all, I'm a longtime dedicated Matt TV fan.
Thank you.
I love that show very much. However, through the seasons, there have been new faces and new names, and I'm starting to find myself laughing less and less because... I don't know, because of these young kids or something like that. Like, when I used to watch the old Matt TV episodes, like, people like you as Miss Swan and Nicole Sullivan, Van Cole Lady, and, you know, Phil Lamar with UBS Guy, those, they were very, very funny, very timeless characters. And, I don't know, now there's, like, I'm reluctant.
You know, here's what I wonder. I wonder if it's, because people always have these complaints, something that you saw when you were younger. For instance, Star Wars, you cling to and you're like, there's nothing like it. They don't make this. I think it's the age you started getting into that stuff. It was so impressionable and it was so special and it was your time. I have to say I haven't seen a lot of the new Mad TV, but I wonder if people now that were your age when you were enjoying us are enjoying them just as much.
I
don't know.
I'm enjoying like Bobby Lee and Ike Barinholtz and, of course, Frank Caliendo. And,
they did a spoof on the Laguna Beach that was so funny.
I've heard people say, I saw this great blah, blah, blah. Or I heard they did a good Curb Your Enthusiasm.
But, all right, the thing is, I'm a little scared here. If Mad TV keeps going the way it is with not so much funny skits, just my opinion, I'm just afraid that it'll eventually manifest into some, like, SNL sort of stuff where it just isn't funny anymore and there's too many.
How weird is it that now that what you don't want to be is like SNL?
That's so subjective. Other people are in love with SNL right now. They think they've got the strongest cast ever.
Really?
It's
I don't think
it's subjective.
SNL was great like 5 years later. Like,
it's
you look
a different
back on
animal.
It.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're live, they're an hour and a half, and they're constantly, I think, crippled by having to have a guest star every week in a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do that.
Well, because
although
SNL.
I hear now they're doing some weird stuff with ad placement, product placement.
Oh, well, because SNL, I kind of really don't like them because they think they're big shots because they've been around longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of feel that way. With all due respect to SNL, because they've, you know, had Will Ferrell and Adam Sandler and Chris Rock, but I just think they kind
of
push you around once in a while because, hey, we're SNL. We've been on longer, Matt TV, yeah.
But I will tell you for sure, Richard, that the names you just mentioned, for people that were there
in
that day,
Jane Curtin.
They felt that the new guys who you just mentioned, who, by the way, there was another group between, which was Eddie Murphy and Billy.
But people always think the new ones aren't
the ones, yes.
They kind of get upset. It's not their team. But I appreciate your support, and I love you thinking that we were great. But I can't get on the SNL versus Mad TV because SNL made me who I am watching that growing up.
Is that right?
I can't. Oh, God, yeah.
Which cast were you attached to?
I used to pretend that Steve Martin and Gilda Radner were my real parents. That was my dream.
Well, Steve Martin was on three times a year.
Quite often doing his Wild and Crazy Guys and bits.
I got to see Gilda Radner do a one-woman show on Broadway
in
1979.
I've seen the DVD of that.
It was really good.
Yeah, I miss her.
I do too.
I miss her. I miss Madeline Kahn. And here's my question to you. Will all funny women die of ovarian cancer?
God seems to want it that way.
What is that?
I don't know.
Isn't that weird?
Weird.
Every funny woman has a small dog like I do on my lap.
Uh-oh. You better get your ultrasounds and your
C-125. Their ovaries are shut down by God.
That's weird.
Isn't it?
I don't like that.
Yeah, let's start a study.
The funny gene and the ovarian cancer gene. All right, let's take some calls here. This is Jackie, 25. Jackie, what's up?
Hi. I've had bacterial vaginosis since October.
Vaginosis, uberalis. Vaginosis, uberalis.
And I've been to my doctor a couple of times. I've gotten lots and lots of antibiotics, and it hasn't changed or gone away.
What kind of doctor did you see?
My primary doctor, who's specialized in OBGYN.
So you're sure? It's an obstetrician, a gynecologist then, right?
Yeah.
And they gave you oral antibiotics?
I took the Metrogel twice. I took Flagyl once for a week and then once for 14 days, and I took the clindamycin.
And what does he think this is?
She says it's bacterial vaginosis.
But what does she think? Usually bacterial vaginosis, when it's recurring, when it's persistent, it's because it's recurring. It's not that it's never clearing up. It just keeps coming back. Is that what's happening here?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't gone away. Even when I took the Flagyl for 14 days, it was consistent the whole time, and then it got worse at the end.
Is it like a bird flu genitis?
Do you anything
bird
else?
Bird flu genosis?
You don't have like Crohn's disease or something else going on?
No.
Very weird. And your doctor's not giving you any clues as to what this might be?
No, she says the only thing it could possibly be is bacterial vaginosis, and there's nothing else to do.
Let it just be?
Well, she just wants to give me Flagyl again.
Supercalivaginosis, expialidocious. If you have it long enough, it will not go away. What do you think?
Good, perfect.
Thank you.
It's a hit. Jackie, look, you're seeing somebody, keep going back. I'm not exactly clear that they're telling you it's not going away. They're treating as though it's coming back repeatedly. And I would stick with the Metrogel cream as much as possible. That tends to be the best thing in controlling it. Retaking the Flagyl, retaking the ampicillin, that can give you a lot of side effects. I'd stay away from that if you possibly can. Simon, 14.
I'm a huge fan of the show. Dr. Drew, I've talked to you before under my real name twice, I think, when Adam was still around.
Okay.
I love you. Family Guy is the best show. South Park sucks compared to it. Family
Interesting.
Guy.
Interesting. Isn't it funny people show their love by telling you what they hate?
Yeah, definitely. But,
That's
I mean,
beautiful.
And Mazel Tov. Cause I'm
Thank
Jewish
you.
Too. Yeah.
My real name is Moses.
Yo. Well, my real name is, Roses too.
Yeah.
But,
I'm a Jew.
I want to know, I didn't really have a question. I just made it up. I just love Family Guy, and I love you, and hi, shot.
Hi.
What?
Way to go, Simon.
What did he say?
Bye, buddy.
I missed it. Did he say vagina?
Yeah, he said vagina.
Aww,
he's very proud of himself.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I forget that I forget scenes that happen on the show, and somebody came up to me the other day and went, oh, my God. Diarrhea. And it took me, I was like, what? Took me 20 minutes after saying hello and shaking hands.
That is actually my kids' favorite moments in Family Guy.
And I,
but you don't say it. Peter says it.
Well, we both say it and then laugh about it.
Right.
Over and over again. But
right, she says it first and then Peter goes, Lois.
Something. Yeah. Again, I can't remember, but I know half of you out there.
that was an old one, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Samantha 20.
Hello.
Hey there, what's happening?
Nothing much. I was just wondering, because me and I have, like, rape fantasies. Is that normal?
What do you mean a rape fantasy?
Well, like, yeah, like, whenever it's in a movie or, I mean, I just think about it a lot.
Sounds like you're giggling. Is this a joke?
No.
Oh, okay. You get kind of hot when you see it happen in a movie?
Yeah, and, like, I dream about it and stuff. I mean, it's like, yeah.
There's a French film called Irreversible. You got to rent that.
Fabulous.
10-minute right. Uncut anal rape scene. It's great.
Oh, that's great. 10 minutes? Fantastic.
10 minutes.
Beautiful. Anderson's got
it. I don't know about the whole anal thing.
Samantha, I'm a little confused here because there really is no question. Is it normal? Obviously not. Is it a serious symptom? I don't know because you're not really telling us what's going on.
I think there's a difference, too, between a rape fantasy and a fantasy of a guy in control,
sweeping
being able to
away.
Pick you up
yeah,
and put you on the bed and
swept away is
hold
something
your
different.
Hands down. And
yeah.
Because I know what you're talking about there, sister. That's some good stuff.
Yeah. And are you a virgin?
Yes.
And you were never sexually abused or raped or physically abused, anything like that growing up?
No.
Maybe it's about, and you want to lose your virginity?
Let's ask her. Samantha?
Fantasies?
Just in general, in real life, do you wish that you could lose your virginity or has it become a big issue now?
It's not a big issue. I mean,
Alex is asking a pertinent question, which is, for instance, do you feel like the only way you can become sexually active is somebody else in control? That you feel too guilty or ashamed or whatever to actually relinquish
yes,
it yourself?
I think so.
All right. Well, there you go. You'll have a relationship someday. Relax. Don't get in a rape situation.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest heels, a short skirt, and walking down an alley saying, I can't find my keys. I'm not going to suggest that.
Mike, 35.
Yes.
What's up?
I'm fine. Am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh. so you want me to see what I said to you already?
Yep.
We didn't hear anything, so go ahead.
Oh, well, basically, yeah, I remember way back when it was the afternoon special after school. You said jet home. And it was James at 15 because I used to pee the bed till 15 myself. And to see that show on there, it was like, oh, man. And you had to sympathize with the guy and run home and hang the sheets out the window. And it was either James at 15.
That's what the movie was called, James at 15.
And it was Lance Kerwin was the guy, man. Not Landon.
Thank you.
Landon come over there and what?
maybe he directed it.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, he was always into the generational, heart pulling string stuff, you know.
Thank you for correcting me, though. I didn't remember the name.
That's the guy that should be a listener. Loveline.
No.
That guy would be so great. For
I like to answer
diabolical
the phone. Hey, you're on the air.
Jennifer, what's up?
Hi. I was just wondering, is it possible to actually be asexual if you don't have attraction for anyone?
For example, what?
Well, I mean, if you're trying to cultivate an attraction and it's just not happening, what can you do to, I hesitate to say fix it, but...
Vague.
Yeah, everyone's very vague tonight. What's
going on?
So you can't have relationships?
There's never been any sexual attraction to anyone.
All right, so, can you have a relationship?
I've had one before.
A romantic relationship?
Yeah.
Was it with a guy or a girl?
It was with a guy.
And how'd that go?
I wound up looking at him more like my brother.
Did you have sex with him?
Yeah. But it was more just sort of a thing to do. It wasn't a matter of, I mean, if I see an attractive guy, I can acknowledge that he's attractive, but there's no...
No arousal.
Right.
Do you any medication?
No, not well until recently. That hasn't changed anything.
What are you taking now?
Wellbutrin.
Okay, and any trauma history?
No.
Not to speak of?
Mm-mm.
And you function okay at work?
Yeah, everything's it seems fine. It's just I'm trying to...
I think a lot of people, see movies and TV, and they think they're supposed to be so oversexed, and that everything is about sex. And
some people are not. That's true.
Some people are not. That's sexually
absolutely
driven.
True. There's very much the case, but you still got to ask the sort of biological questions. Do you have normal periods?
Well, irregular, but normal. Yeah.
And are you normal body weight? Are you overweight at all?
I kind of fluctuate to being a little overweight to kind of normal weight.
How much is it when you're overweight?
Probably about 15 pounds.
So like 140?
About 150. Down to 135 or so.
Okay. Because there can be there can be dysfunctions, the ovaries, that can...
PCS?
Yeah. And that, right.
PCOS?
Right. Polycystic ovarian syndrome and things like that can affect the level of sex hormones that circulate, and that can affect your drive. And the thing that mediates drive in women, as in men, is testosterone. So it makes you wonder, is there something going on?
If you have extra testosterone, you're going to be a little more driven.
A little more driven, exactly. And then, but women are so damn complex that they've got three hormones that affect their sexuality. Estrogen sort of makes them receptive, and progesterone can kind of go either way, and then the testosterone is primarily what's responsible for the drive. So
it's a three-party system.
It is, and it's very complicated. Drives every man crazy. Again, I was involved in some research down in Emory University.
That's where my father went.
We did some functional MRI scans on men and women. I'm getting like so congested here. It's ridiculous. I almost can't breathe.
Are you all verklempt?
I'm verklempt.
I understand.
I need some of Miss Swan's special stew.
Oh, I'm going to kick you in the balls.
I will forget all about my breathing
problem.
Clear
it up.
Yeah, thank you. and a lot of adrenaline will go through my system. That'll open my airways up.
It's good. It's a gift.
What was I talking about?
You're talking about Emory doing
some
research.
And so we did functional MRI scans and men and women looking at the visual sexual images. And the men were pretty much uniform in their response. They had very powerful drive responses to the visual images. Women were all over the place. They had visual arousal, no drive for the most part. Some women drive. And this guy sort of looked at all this material and said, look, men are like a black box with a switch in it. Just on, off. That's it. Women are like the flight deck of a 747. and no two planes are alike. And no guy knows how to fly a plane. So, all right, Shana, what's up?
And some of them go down.
It's some of them.
Boom, boom.
Nice. Hey, and the Colodo. Colodo.
How are you guys?
Colodo. Shana, what's up?
We're good. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was just wondering, both of my parents have been drug addicts for years. And, like, recently my mom had gotten off speed, but now she's drinking and stuff. So, I have a really bad problem sleeping. I can't sleep like ever. So I was wondering
is that because night times were particularly problematic? Were they really crazy at night and traumatizing?
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. I don't sleep even during the day. It's very hard for me to sleep, and I'm homeschooled. So I have plenty of time to do so.
Why are you homeschooled by speed freaks and alcoholics?
My mom, she would snort like a quart.
That's one hell of a class.
A quarter a day. Like, seriously, because my Aunt Gail was, like, drug city woman. So.
Is your name Shauna or Shana?
Shana,
look. Get in a normal high school, please, so you can get some friends and get away from these people.
I have a lot of friends. I attend a church that I love, and I'm very active in it and stuff.
Right.
I'm just wondering about, getting on medicine. I want to... ask my doctor about it and stuff, but I'm scared that I'm going to come too dependent on it. And
you should be scared.
Later.
I'd be terrified.
Yeah, sleep medication can be very addictive. All right, there's a couple of choices. There's a brand new medication called Rosarem that is actually a melatonin-based medication, and you can take that one every night. It is terribly safe. There's another, as far as we know, anyway.
What's that called again?
Rosarem. It works. It doesn't work for everybody, but when it works, it works really well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a medicine called Trazodone, which is an antidepressant that is not a very good antidepressant, but it's pretty good for sleep. And there's another sedating medication called Seroquel that we use sometimes for sleep. And I suspect, based on what you're describing, that Seroquel will probably be the most effective for you. Okay?
Okay.
I'd say talk to someone at that church, though. Maybe they can help get you
that's what I'm wondering.
Out of that situation.
Yeah, why aren't they intervening there?
The thing is, my mom, we had moved to Florida to get her off of speed, and she stayed with my grandmother, and we stayed there for, like, a year and a half over. So then we came back, and within 6 weeks, she was back on it again.
What was she doing in Florida with the mom?
we all moved out there, me and my younger sister and her, and we moved out there for her to sober up and like get
off.
This
is why you're not sleeping, because you have the stress of a 40-year-old woman.
You're the parent.
You shouldn't be having to deal with this.
You've been parentalized.
Yeah, I know. And my mom has to work now because now she's off the street. But my real dad, it was heroin and everything else you can think of.
So he's gone, right?
Yeah, he's out of the picture.
And your mom's in recovery now? She's going to meetings? She has a sponsor?
No, she's not going to meetings. Right. She's kind of doing it on her own.
All right. Without that, I guarantee you she will not stay sober.
She's been going really good for like 6 months. I mean, she drinks every now and then, but not real bad.
Shana, I guarantee you she will not stay sober. That's a medical fact. I can guarantee a few things when it comes to drugs and alcohol, but I can guarantee you that one with a chronic speed addict like this. She has to go to meetings. She has to have a sponsor. She has to work very hard. You can put her in jail for 5 years. When she comes out of jail, she will start using again. It's just the way it works.
I don't see how she can get the time or anything, because right now she has to work all the time. So I have to watch her sister.
She's very good because she has you now making the excuses
for
her.
That's very good. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And be careful, too, because the things that are so traumatic when you're growing up become the sources of immense attraction.
Right. I've listened to your show a lot, and I really understand.
So think of the kind of guys that you go for now, right?
Oh, I've been with this one guy for a year now, and he's a really great guy.
Really?
All around. Really, I promise, because I've been in bad relationships before already, and I'm only 16, and
But that's what I'm saying. You've really been going for these. You've been going for these bad guys, and you're gonna have a tendency to want to sabotage this one.
Yeah, I know. I've already tried like 3 times, and I finally figured it out, and I've stopped because I know he's good for me.
You're able to stay hanging with it.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's good.
You know what's scary though about the sleeping stuff is then. You'll take the sleeping stuff, then you'll have to start doing something if you take it too late to wake up, and then you'll if you've got this tendency, then you'll start looking for caffeine, and then it'll be speed, and then it'll be...
Of course, and the sleep medicines these days are so powerful and so good that they become sort of their own...
My mother took one so powerful that my dad found her, like, talking to herself in the mirror in front of the sink.
Yeah.
in like a pirate's hat or something. Dangerous territory.
All right, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Alex, you have a new film coming out, Little Man?
Yeah, it's a little Wayans Brothers movie called Little Man.
What's it about?
What it's about is a childless couple takes in a baby that's on their front doorstep. Unbeknownst to them, it is in fact not a baby, but a very small, would you say small person? Is that the word now? A criminal, kind of on the run from the cops.
Vertically challenged?
Vertically challenged. Little guy that is... Actually, what's amazing about the movie is how they did it. The body is done by a 9-year-old little person named Lyndon, a great kid who does all of the acting parts in the body.
Wow.
And they digitize the face of one of the Wayans brothers head.
Oh, my God.
So I think you should see it alone just for this feat of technology.
Are you the mom?
No, I play a kind of crazy mother, very, very Mother Earth type character, a friend of the woman who takes him in.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
That's just no stretch for you. I mean,
I'm the type who thinks that you should breastfeed everyone's children.
Speaking of breastfeeding, Anthony, 15.
Is it true that like breast milk cures warts?
Oh, what do you think, Miss Swan?
What?
Hold on.
Yeah, but you got to soak in it for 42 hours.
So you need a bathtub full of breast milk.
For the breast milk.
So it's not just where the wart is. You don't just dab it on. You actually submerge yourself.
You got to soak in it.
I love your show, and Family Guy is like one of my favorite shows. So,
thank you,
cool, Anthony. Forget that there are cures for warts. What kind of wart do you have? Like on your hands?
Oh no! Just my friends were talking about it, and they were like
"What kind of warts?
Huh?
Genital warts? Warts on your hand? Warts on your arms?
Just any type of wart.
Any type of wart. No, there's many treatments for warts that do not include breast milk." There's a cream called Eldera. There's Podophyllin lotion. There's
I heard that the only thing that cures genital warts on a man is oral sex given by another man. Is that true?
Well, you can tell Anthony that.
So kids.
But it has to be a breast milk applied first.
Right.
Then the oral sex. There you go.
Breast milk, I would imagine, is very warm.
I would imagine that, yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Take a nice bath.
1-800-LOVE-191. Alex Borstein. She's Lois Griffin on Family Guy. Sundays, 9 o'clock on Fox. 3 back-to-back episodes coming up after the big game this Sunday. Look out for her in Little Man.
And also, coming out. Look out for me in the stands at the Super Bowl.
And she'll be in the stores. And she'll be going nuts.
Yes.
Particularly if the Seahawks do well.
If the Seahawks do well. Right around the 40-yard line.
She's having a never-ending existence, her life on Mad TV, which continues on Comedy Central.
It does. And I have a DVD that's coming out, Drop Dead Gorgeous in a down-to-earth bombshell sort of way.
What is that?
It's a live comedy special.
Oh, how great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Was it on any of the cable channels or anything? Or
no, actually, we're doing... I just did it live. I did a tour of it. And I'm going to be distributing very shortly.
Fantastic.
And you can get more information at my website.
Which is?
www.alexborstein.com.
B-O-R-S-T-E-I-N. Imagine that, what a creative name.
Isn't that neat?
It's really, how'd you think of that? Anyway, we'll be right back after this word.
The phone number for Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline, I'll be right back.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. She is Alex Borstein. You know her as Lois Griffin. You know her as Miss Swan. What do you remember?
And you know her as Trisha Takanawa.
Trisha Takanawa.
I'm here with Dr. Drew talking about vaginitis.
Any other voices on Family Guy?
I also do Loretta.
Oh, Loretta, yes. Nice. Yeah. I like Loretta.
Loretta
has lots of...
Babs Pewter Schmidt. Hello, darling.
Lois's
mother.
Lois's mom, yes.
And... all kinds of various weird things.
That's so funny. I didn't know you did all those voices.
Oh, yeah.
Come to you and say, I've got an idea. Can you come up with something for this? Or
sometimes it happens in the room. There's a character that'll be coming on soon. Doesn't really have a name, but she's a librarian. That kind of happened in the room, and so now she's kind of becoming a little bit of a...
And what does she sound like?
I can't give it away. I can't give away the joke.
What?
You're going to have to wait.
Oh, my
and
God.
Watch
is it? Can I see it on Sunday?
For the librarian. I don't think it's this Sunday. I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I think they're reruns this Sunday, aren't they?
What?
I think they do that so they don't burn new ones on the S day.
Oh, come on.
What do you want? What do you want from me?
Fox, I'm so mad
what
at
am
them.
What am I?
I want a new Family Guy every week.
You know what? You should write a letter. Everyone out there should write a letter. Hi, I'm Alex Borstein. How was that?
You need to know. Let's take a call. This is Christine 20.
Hello?
Hey, Christine, what's happening? You're on with Alex Borstein.
Well, I got a question for you. I have kind of a little dilemma in the sex life, and I'm wondering if you guys can help.
Here we go. This is where you talk.
Oh, hello?
Christine?
Hello?
Yes, we're waiting for you.
Oh, sorry about that.
How can people... Hang on a second. What is it about speaking to somebody on the telephone that they or maybe on a radio show that they lose the capacity for conversation?
I don't know. I will give people the benefit of the doubt here because oftentimes the guests and people jump in. Maybe they're waiting for that, anticipating being cut off.
All right, let's try it again. Christine, 20.
All right. Sorry about that. Anyway, this is my question to you guys. I have a boyfriend who's 24. I'm 20. He has a problem staying hard, and I'm wondering what I can do about that.
Uh-oh. Well, Viagra, right?
Yeah, without...
You're fat.
Viagra.
Why wouldn't he... First of all, why doesn't he get a medical evaluation to make sure there's not something causing this?
I don't know. I've asked him that, and he really can't answer me.
That is the most common reason that males have that problem. Now, he's a little young, but...
What's he like otherwise? Is the relationship good, or...?
Overall, the relationship is really, really well, like, really good. As far as communication and everything else goes, but for some reason, he just will not go to a doctor and will not take any Viagra.
Well, I hope he had this conversation, but I'm sure it was uncomfortable. Has he ever had this problem before?
Yeah.
Did he ever not have this problem?
Well, he told me, I guess, with his ex he didn't have this problem, but he told me, I assure you it's not you, but I'm thinking there's probably something going on, and I don't know if it's a medical thing or if it's...
I'm going to ask you something, and I mean, no offense. Is there a possibility that he's gay?
And by the way, my daughter starts many comments with no offense, and I know immediately something terribly offensive is about to come out of her mouth.
Oh, no, don't
no offense. I don't care for Jewish people.
You know, no, I totally understand. Actually, I've wondered many times, but I don't think... Like, that's the case.
Did you wonder before he tried the gay porn thing, and it just didn't pop up,
so.
Because a woman who dated many, many gay men.
No.
Oh, God, yes.
Why?
Dr. Drew, I am the bridge. I am the last thing a gay male sees before a man.
Before he goes over the other
that's
side.
That's it. I was the bridge.
Well, that's nice.
It's beautiful.
It's sort of like St. Peter or something. You
I
know?
Have no regrets. It was a fabulous, fabulous existence.
Oh, my.
I was treated very well, always.
And that's a better form of the male. Let's be serious.
Absolutely.
However, a little bit unfulfilling on the Kolodo side.
Yeah, you might find...
But in Kuvaria, women have Kolodo, so what are you going to do?
That's right. We can satisfy ourselves.
Christine. All right, here's the deal. I think you have to put your foot down and go, look, first of all, this is troubling me. Not me personally, but you, Christine. And secondly, you called a radio show. We told you the most likely, well, not the most likely, but at his age, the first thing to rule out is a medical problem.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of things. And men don't understand that often is the first sign of heart disease, first sign of cancers, first sign of hormone problems of various type. So it's something that if he didn't have a problem before and suddenly he does and there isn't any psychological interpersonal going on, he has to get checked out. And if it all checks through, take Viagra, problem goes away.
I just read an article that was linking erectile dysfunction to heart disease.
I'm about to help out with something like with a campaign about that because it really is a big deal. And
I'm donating my time too to try to help the men get it up.
What are you gonna do?
Some lap dancing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's what I can do for the boys, for our troops.
I know they will appreciate that. Catherine, 21.
Hi. Am I on there?
You're on now.
Speak.
Oh, wow. Actually, I was calling to ask, I don't know if you would be able to help me with this, but for about 7 years, I've been dealing with a scarring disease that's within my reproductive, and originally they thought that it was like PID caused from chlamydia or something, but I have never come up positive for any of the testings, including like actual biopsies from inside. I've had surgeries and things like that where they removed abscesses and tumors and cysts and all sorts of things, but they haven't fixed anything, and they can't figure out how I got it or what it is or how to get rid of it. And
well, now, wait a minute. So if each time they do a laparoscopy, when they go back in, they find more adhesions?
Uh-huh.
So it's not just that you have persistent pain. It's that when they do the laparoscopies, they find pathology.
Yeah.
And you were not sexually abused growing up?
Actually, I don't remember most of my childhood.
Okay. So we'll assume probably. You're sexually abused.
Okay.
And once you start monkeying around down there, you know, you can cause scarring just by having monkeyed. You know what I'm saying?
Do you mean monkeyed in abuse or having these
procedures? For instance, every time you open the abdomen, you can get adhesions and you can cause some bowel obstructions. You can cause scarring. So, Catherine, I would, you know, unexplained pelvic pain, even when they find stuff, if it just kind of keeps going, can't be explained thoroughly. And, oh, by the way, maybe there was some sexual abuse there. The pain is more likely to have been related to the sexual abuse than to the adhesions because they've ruled out and treated serious things. You don't have anything serious.
Well, now they're trying to tell me that I have, they're trying to say that maybe it's some type of cancer or this or that or the other, but I come up negative for all of those tests.
Right. So they're not trying to tell you anything. They're checking for everything and can't find anything because there's nothing there. Except these recurrent adhesions. And so an unexplained pelvic pain, most commonly, not always, but most commonly, in my experience, is sexual abuse. I mean, that's a very common cause of that.
Although one time I had a little pain and we discovered a large Puerto Rican family was living
It could be that. It could be the,
I say just look into that.
I'm totally with you. Rufus, 22.
Yeah, how you doing?
We're great, Rufus. What's going on there?
I got a couple S&M questions for you. I think I'll start with you first, Dr. Drew.
Not for Alex?
I'll go for Alex, too. Alex,
bring it on.
With Peter and Lois dressing up in dominatrix outfits for...
Oh, yeah. I have it on my wall in my office.
great. I have the action figures. Did you have anything to do with that episode? I mean, the creation of that scene.
Yes, I did. I was working in the writer's room as a writer, and I believe the safety word is banana.
Yes, it was. He's holding the banana in my action figure.
And if you pay close attention in a Mad TV sketch where I did a S&M bit as Fred and Ethel Mertz, the safety word was also banana.
Nice.
Oh, right on.
A little piece of history. Yeah, I love that. That's one of my favorite visually, especially the scenes. I love it. I love seeing her in... the garter, I love it. It's the best.
Yeah, it's great. She was so sexy for a cartoon.
Have you ever pleasured yourself to Lois's action figure?
Oh, every man has. How dare you?
Hmm. advice, so I'm not going to say anything. All right, what's, Dr. Drew, I got one
yes,
for
sir.
You.
Yeah.
I've had a very rough sexual practice for a long time now. I'm into the whole bondage S&M thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm not one of those people that likes to be shamed, but I got this thing where I like to be cut. And only on my chest because I've got tattoos on the rest of my body pretty much. And my girlfriend's got this thing with wanting to pee in it, and I want to know if that's hygienically correct.
Pee in your cut?
Yeah.
Well, it's technically sterile.
Dear diary,
today
I peed in a man's cut. I've never heard anything like this.
I have just this. I always want to know Miss Swan's opinion of these things. I'm sorry,
Miss Swan can't come out right now because this
one
Jew from the Midwest is just. I'm perplexed.
Okay, Rufus, what color is your skin?
White.
You're white.
Well, there's like all kinds of greens and blues and reds because of my tattoos, but I'm...
You're painted up. So somebody beat the crap out of you when you were a kid, right?
I've worked my way through that. I'm not upset over that anymore, but...
I'm not saying... No one has to be... Listen, there's a bizarre, bizarre misconception in our culture that if you don't remember things or they don't bother you anymore, they don't affect you any longer. These things affect your behavior in the present, and the things that seem like great choices are put in place by motivational systems that were wired in by these experiences. So it changes the trajectory of the growth and development of your brain, and that then sets these things that sound like good ideas to you in motion, like slicing your chest open and have somebody pee in. Excuse me, Anderson. Now, I'm sorry, Anderson, but while pee is sterile, it also has a lot of irritants in it, and I worry that it could cause some sort of tissue reaction. So
and
I
she
don't
could have a yeast infection, as we've heard tonight.
No, even yeast wouldn't do it. If she had a UTI, if she had an ear infection, that could be a problem. So.
That could do it. I've had those. You have ever had a bladder infection?
I had a cystoscopy once, so I know what that feels like. It's like
It feels like a little old man has wrapped kite string around your insides and is tugging slowly while singing with a banjo.
That's a very vivid description.
It's not fun, Dr. Drew.
Did you wake up in the middle of the night with a dream of this man?
I just, I remember it well, that's all.
Eesh.
Yeah.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Well, urinary tract infections are rather common, actually, in women, because they have a little short urethra, so bacteria gets pushed up into the bladder and off they go.
Let me tell you. But, the cutting and the peeing on and the covered in tattoos, I just don't know.
There's a lot of stuff, Alex, that I don't fully get that people do. Lest I judge not. Believe me, I do not judge. But the whole anal sex thing, I don't really get that.
You don't get that.
You get that?
I've never. I'm gonna pass.
Okay.
I think my parents are listening.
How about Jackson? Your husband, is he into that?
I'm gonna pass.
Oh my! Because he's who cares? Your parents are like, that's Jackson. Oi!
I'm taking the fifth, and I'm gonna say my dog is a huge fan of anal sex.
Anal sex, and then things these sort of
as performed by my husband.
And then they,
no.
Then these shaming things. Well, that would I mean. Well, maybe not Jackson. these shaming activities where they have to be peed on and humiliated stuff. I mean, he said he wasn't specifically in the humiliation. The girlfriend wanted to do it, but that's another one. It's like, wow. My brain can't get there.
Yeah, I don't.
That's a special kind of
even
motivation.
Tattooing for me is just so. I know how much I've changed over the years, and anything I thought would be a good idea to tattoo on today, I'm not going to think it was such a great idea in 5 years.
Oh no, no, no.
For instance, when you buy a car, you know you're so into that model of what you're buying. Have you ever watched an old tape of I used to tape Letterman all the time. You see the commercials. You can't believe what. The Honda Prelude used to look like, for instance.
Yeah, that's true.
So things like that change so rapidly. How could you possibly pick a tattoo you're going to want for life?
There you go.
I don't know. I can't, I guess, is what I should say.
How could you pick a face you want for life, too? It's the same thing.
Anderson, he's on acid tonight.
I just got a bunch of tattoos, and that's all.
Oh, sorry.
How could you pick a face you want?
I think it's fabulous. I enjoy looking at a lot of them. I think the artwork is beautiful. I just could never do it.
I have a little man holding strings playing the banjo on my arm.
Isn't that beautiful? And it leads all the way up my leg.
Well, I'm going out to Dallas tomorrow to give a talk about motivational systems. Anyone in Dallas, I'm going to be at the Hyatt around noontime. Give me a talk. Want to hear more about this and little men and banjos. It'll be all good times. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Ooh, I'm going to just quickly talk to Ashley, 21. What's up?
Hi. I have a question about crab. It's kind of funny. I don't have a problem with it, but you remember that movie, Scary Movie, where the gym teacher's all, you know, shaving your pubic hair won't rid you of crab infestation? But if you have lice, wouldn't that, when you shave your head, if you have lice, that rids you of the lice infestation. Why wouldn't that, would that shaving your pubic hair rid you of crabs?
Well, hold on, Ashley.
I love that she's taking her cue from the movie Scream.
I know. Very erudite, scholarly source. We'll address the crab issue after this commercial. In the meantime, it's Alex Borstein with me, Dr. Drew, on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline. Be right back in a minute.
Here we go. Let's get back to the crabs, Alex. What do you think?
They're not kosher. Can't eat them. It's a scavenger.
Crabs are not kosher?
Crabs are not kosher.
I did not know that.
Yeah, lobster, shrimp, crabs.
Oh, that's right.
Shellfish.
The bottom feeders. All right, Ashley. So you don't think you can get rid of them by shaving the everything?
Uh-huh. Can you? Or does that?
Well, first of all, I think you'd have to shave your whole body because they move around pretty good. Oh, I've seen them down low on the leg.
They can move up to your arms and even to your hair?
They can move to your hair. Yep. Armpit.
How
big
are they?
They're tiny.
Oh.
But I've definitely seen them.
Like, I mean, how do you know if you have? I mean, obviously, like, you itch or whatever, but, you know, I've discussed this with friends, and we all didn't really know, so I thought I'd call, you know, obviously a professional.
You didn't know what?
Huh?
You didn't know what they look like?
Yeah, I mean, can you see them? I mean, like, if you had them, I mean, would you be able to see the freaking things? Or
yes.
Are they so tiny that you can't see them? And what do they look like, though? Because, you know, in sex ed, they never really explain to you what they look like, you know, how to tell if you have it or, you know, what to do to get rid of them either. So
they can burrow a little bit, but they look like tiny crabs.
Here's the question I have. What's the difference between crabs and scabies?
Scabies is a lice, and it goes under the skin. It burrows in.
I and had that once.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
And they look like crabs, and they just bite. Do they bite, like, numerously, or is it just, like...
Ashley, you getting some gas right now? What are you doing?
Huh?
You getting gas?
I'm driving. No, I'm driving home.
It sounded like you were, like, at a gas pump.
Maybe that's my radar detector. Sorry.
Radar detector. Oh, it's old school. Nice.
Yeah, so the cops don't catch me speeding, so... No. But, yeah, I was just wondering, so, like, shaving doesn't work, so that was correct in the Scary Movie?
Do you have one hand on the wheel right now and the other one furiously scratching your vagina?
No, not at all.
Okay,
no,
just
I don't
curious.
Have a problem with it at all.
Oh, of course not, of course not.
Because I never knew what it looked like, and...
All right, here's the deal. They're little clusters of them, and they usually look like, they're like the size of a... Like, if you took a pen, like a mm-hmm. ballpoint pen and made a dot on a page...
Okay.
That's about the size they are, but they're visible with the eye. And if you look closely, they look like little crabs. I mean, you can
be able to see that if they were on
you. You definitely see them. They can burrow a little bit. They tend to hang on to hair follicles. They'll move around and find the hair. So if you shave your pubic hair off, they'll move down on the leg and they'll hang on there. They'll move up to your armpit. So the shaving of the hair, unless you get every shred in your whole body, I can't imagine really would work very well.
And they really like Brazilian waxes.
Do they really?
Yeah. And if you hold them under a microscope, they look like Joe Pesci.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Dan, 22.
Am I on the air?
Yep.
Okay, hi, Dr. Drew. First, I want to say, man, I love your show. I think it's awesome. Dan.
That's cool.
And I got a quick, Alex, I love your work. I got a quick question for you, Alex.
Thank you, yes.
I'm in the Detroit area, and there's a radio station over here that's giving away Super Bowl tickets.
Uh-huh.
If someone can get a celebrity to call up just for like a minute and speak to them. And I wanted to know if you could do that for me.
Hello? I don't know. I don't know how I would facilitate that. I would be willing to do it, but I would have to do almost no work.
Okay, so I'll just give you, I have like a private number, so off the air I'll give you a private number and leave my name.
You can give it to Anderson.
Just say no, let's move on.
Oh, pumpkin. Write it on your back. It'll be a new tattoo.
Anderson, you're such a humanitarian. It's
just has
awesome.
Nothing to do with anything, and it's not even our station. I mean, come on. And he lied
pumpkin.
About his question.
But you know what? It's Super Bowl. I mean the S.
Plus, he's probably a Seahawk fan.
As am
like
I.
Like Alex.
I don't know. I'll try to do it. I'll say that. I'm not going to make any empty promises.
So we'll be up to the screeners. Leslie, 20.
Hi. I was just calling because I turned in right when you guys were talking about the tattoos and
uh-huh.
how you wouldn't get one, or she said she wouldn't get one. Right. I just wanted to make the comment that, you know, a lot of people get tattoos after years of actually looking at the design and thinking about it, getting a tattoo.
And then they ultimately pick a heart with a rose through it.
And it wasn't, she wasn't saying so much she wouldn't pick the picture. She was saying she wouldn't want a part, there's not a part of her body that she'd want that done to it.
I'm just not into it. I'm assuming you have a tattoo?
I do have a tattoo, and I've actually had like 7 planned of what I want to get, and I've been planning them for years.
What are you going to get?
Right now I have a Tequara, which is a Celtic symbol. I'm going to get a tiger slashing through my shoulder, left shoulder. A dream
a tiger?
Yeah, it looks like a claw is coming through, and you can see the tiger's face.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my right shoulder is going to be a dream catcher.
A what?
A dream catcher, Indian dream catcher.
Indian.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then on my left foot is going to be a lotus blossom.
What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of anything. I like the tattoos.
I feel like people get them because they're usually things of force.
Make
usually
them
things
tough.
That show strength.
Uh-huh.
Or there are things that they think will protect them in some way or lend them to some kind of a tribe and not let them feel so alone.
Because they're so common these days, this is not very universally the case, but kids that have been sort of aggressively handled, it's a way of, again, acting out the aggression. You know,
well,
it's a sense of pushing away aggression.
Or a belonging, you know, a uh-huh. tribal band uh-huh. or a Celtic knot. Uh-huh. Or a,
but he uses a way of sort of expressing aggression. You know, it was an interesting episode a couple weeks ago with the Brian almost had a near-death experience.
Right.
And in response to that, we're talking about the Family Guy, he goes and nearly drinks himself to death.
Yes.
Again, that experience of if people are traumatized, they go out thinking all kinds of reasons why they're doing what they're doing, but they end up really reenacting the trauma.
Right, trying to destroy themselves.
He thought he was living his life to the fullest, but ends up nearly killing himself again. Because he'd just been through a near-death experience.
We don't deserve our lives, do we?
I think that's basically what I'm saying. Yeah, we humans are just...
But don't get me wrong. I think whoever wants to get a tattoo, awesome. I've seen some beautiful ones. I tend to think I kind of get sick of seeing the ones low on the women's backside that you're only going to be looking at if you're doing them doggy style.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't understand that.
The guys can interpret that as open for business.
Go for it.
The tattoos?
Yeah.
Except the one on the back.
It, you know, look, what I'm saying is it ain't my thing, but go for it.
All right. This 1-800. Oh, actually, we're about... All right. We're done with Leslie. Real quickly, this is a James 17. James?
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, guys?
Real quick here, buddy. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. My question is basically, I'm wondering how my relationship is going on an awkward basis. Like, my girlfriend and I have been dating almost a year and a half now, next month, and... she has a friend of hers, and she tells me she's straight all the time, and we've talked, like, clearly about this, but for completely sexual benefits, but in not even, like, oral sex or anything, she uses a strap-on with a friend of hers.
Oof.
Which I find completely awkward, but she tells me she just enjoys it, and we've done, like, she has weird habits, like gay porn.
James, run. That's all I'm just saying. It's somebody... Enjoy it. You're a young man. You're awfully young, in fact, 17. But this is somebody whose relationships with her are going to be very chaotic. We have none. Maybe take his number for tomorrow night's screeners because he's got an interesting call. We can delve more. I guess it'll be Sunday night. Delve more into what is up with that girlfriend. We're going
to
take a little
break.
She
should move to Kuvaria with Swan.
There you go. Does it for another episode of Loveline. Look for Alex Borstein in Little Man. That'll be out in May.
Wayans Brothers movie.
And I'm assuming Good Night and Good Luck will be out and sort of probably make another round in theaters.
Nominated for Best Picture.
That's amazing.
Very exciting.
Yeah, Anderson, Best Picture. What do you mean made for TV movie?
I know.
Are you high?
Whatever.
Family Guy, Sunday is 9 o'clock. 3 back-to-back episodes coming up after the big game. She plays Lois and Takanaka. What's her name?
Trisha Takanaka. And feel free to log on to the website. We'd love to have you, alexborstein.com.
That'd be great. We hope we'll have you back real soon. And
Thank you.
Until next time, then, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and good luck.
Go steal us.
Dear Diary.
Today
I peed in a man's cut.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.